If you want to build like a trendy new consumer social media app, do not move to Memphis.
Yeah, please don't.
I mean it, you will be miserable, you'll be completely underfunded, and honestly, you will probably fail. But, and this is a big but, if you want to solve some massive global supply chain bottleneck or, revolutionize agricultural yield data.
Then Memphis might actually be the absolute most advantageous city on the planet for you.
Right. Welcome to today's deep dive. Our mission today is to unpack the freshly released Memphis Startup Ecosystem Guide 2026. This is authored by the Memphis Times and Memphis TV, and they just updated it this July in 2026.
And they really did the grueling work here. They mapped out the actual realities on the ground, not just the marketing pitch.
Exactly. And whether you are a prospective founder sketching out an idea on a napkin, or maybe a business student studying how urban economies evolve, or just someone who is, fascinated by how cities actually engineer economic growth, this deep dive is basically your ultimate cheat sheet.
Because we are cutting through all that typical public relations fluff,
Yeah.
the stuff cities always use to market themselves.
Oh, 100%. We have great coffee and cheap rent pitch.
Right. We are going to uncover what Memphis is genuinely brilliant at, where it completely falls flat on its face, and really why resource tourism is just the biggest trap a new founder can fall into there.
Okay, let's unpack this. Before we even talk about how to maneuver through Memphis itself, we first have to understand what Memphis actually is.
And maybe more importantly, what it isn't, especially compared to its peer cities.
Yeah, you can't navigate if you're holding the wrong map, right? So let's take Austin, Texas as a counterexample.
Good example. Austin is just a generalist powerhouse.
Massive founder density. Massive investor density. Like, you literally bump into angel investors at coffee shops there. If you have a consumer app idea in Austin, you can find a dozen people who get it within a week.
Or look at Atlanta. They have the ATDC incubator, which is backed by Georgia Tech.
State funded, right?
Completely. And it's just a machine. It pumps out generalist tech companies and reports hundreds of millions in raised capital year over year. Or another comparison the report uses is St. Louis.
The Arch Grants Program.
Right. St. Louis has this highly transparent recurring cycle of $75,000 non-dilutive grants.
Wow. Non-dilutive.
Yep. You pitch, you win, you get the cash, and you build your company in St. Louis. It's a predictable funnel. Memphis just lacks that. It doesn't have an equivalent transparent generalist pre-seed funnel.
I like to think of the Memphis ecosystem as a surgical scalpel, not a Swiss Army knife.
Ooh, well, I like that analogy.
Right. Because a Swiss Army knife is what Austin or St. Louis provides. It's this generalized pool of easy early capital that works reasonably well for, I don't know, almost any kind of startup.
But if you come to Memphis looking for a Swiss Army knife, you're going to be so frustrated.
Exactly. But if you need to cut one very specific thing, like a logistics supply chain, it is the perfect tool. It's razor sharp for local industry advantages.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, your scalpel analogy explains the absolute most common trap that out-of-town founders fall into.
Which is what? The cheap rent.
Exactly. They look at a spreadsheet, they see the low cost of living, they see the cheap commercial rent in Memphis, and they just assume, oh, my seed money will last twice as long here.
Right, they treat the city like a coupon code for their runway.
Yeah, but lower operating costs only matter if you actually have a business model. Cheap rent does not compensate for weak customer demand or, limited follow-on capital when you need to raise a Series A.
Because it's a scalpel, a founder can easily just grab it by the blade if they aren't careful. Which brings us to actually navigating the front doors of this ecosystem.
And there are a lot of doors.
So many acronyms. The 2026 guide points out how fragmented it is. So let's break down the actual front doors by function and talk about the traps lurking just inside them.
Sure. Let's start with the preparation phase. Say you have an idea, but no formal business plan.
No 12-month cash flow model.
Right. Your very first call should be the TSBDC, the Tennessee Small Business Development Center, or SCORE.
And the guide attaches a massive warning label here. The TSBDC and SCORE are not capital providers.
Do not walk into their offices asking for a check.
Yeah, they will just look at you funny. Their function is to clean up your messy financial assumptions so you don't get laughed out of a commercial bank.
Okay, but what if you're past the spreadsheet phase? You have a scalable tech idea.
Then you need the scalable tech door.
Yeah.
In Memphis, that's Epicenter. They are the primary innovation hub for high-growth businesses. They have co-working, and they run the Capital Readiness Accelerator.
To help you get your data room ready for institutional investors, right?
Exactly. And then you have the corporate and incentive doors, the Greater Memphis Chamber and ADGE.
ADGE is the Joint City-County Agency, right?
Yeah. But their function is entirely different. They deal in tax abatements, corporate relationships, public incentives. They're only useful after you have a credible product.
Like, do not go to the chamber with a napkin sketch. It is a complete waste of their time and yours. You only go to them when you have verified revenue and you are ready to hire a dozen people or build a warehouse.
And we also have to mention StartCo. The guide notes a huge pivot there. For years, they were the open door accelerator. Any wild idea could pitch them.
Well, not anymore. The guide says they've completely shifted to venture architecture and project-based consulting. No more open call boot camps.
So wait, with all these different acronyms and portals and pivots, isn't there a huge risk that a founder just ends up bouncing from workshop to workshop without ever actually building a business?
Oh, absolutely. What's fascinating here is that the report actually defines this as the central execution risk in Memphis. They call it resource tourism.
Resource tourism? That sounds like a terrible vacation.
It's the illusion of progress. A founder can easily spend 40 hours a week going to pitch practices, eating free pizza at mixers, shaking hands.
Feeling incredibly busy.
Right, but never actually converting any of those events into customer interviews or pilots or technical milestones.
It's just a slow death for a startup.
It really is. So the report demands a brutal fix. It says you must assign an exact measurable deliverable to every single institutional contact you make.
So how do you avoid being a resource tourist? You lean heavily into the specific sectors where Memphis hands you an unfair advantage. Let's look at those cheat codes. First up, the undisputed king, logistics and supply chain.
Memphis is fundamentally a logistics hub. And Epicenter runs the Logistics Opportunity Challenge.
Which gives out cash, right? Up to $3,000 rewards.
Sure, but let's be real. $3,000 does not build a global supply chain startup.
No, it pays for, like, laptops and a couple months of coffee.
Exactly. The real cheat code there is the access.
Mm.
Instead of spending 6 months trying to find a procurement officer on LinkedIn, this program pitches you directly to over 20 potential corporate customers.
Oh, wow. So you are bypassing all the corporate bureaucracy.
Yes. And the report shows that in 2024 and 2025, this led directly to paid pilots that converted into full contracts.
That is massive. Okay, what about ag tech? Agriculture technology.
That's driven by AgLaunch 365. And their advantage is so cool. It's not about putting you in a classroom to learn farming theory.
Right, theory doesn't grow soybeans.
Exactly. Their structural advantage is a national farmer network. You get to validate your soil sensor or whatever you're building in actual field conditions.
Because proving it works in a sterile lab means nothing to a VC. You need to prove it survives a rainstorm on a real farm during harvest season.
And AgLaunch gives you exactly that. It's almost impossible to replicate that kind of rigorous customer diligence on your own.
Absolutely. Okay, moving to medtech, medical devices. This pipeline seems really complex.
It is, but it's incredibly deep. You usually start with programs like Zerto 510 or MDOC.
That's the Medical Device Operations Center, right, for physical prototyping.
Right. Then you tap into UTHSC and UTRF. That's the University of Tennessee Health Science Center and their research foundation. They handle the clinical validation and commercialization.
And then once you have the clinical data and the patents, you go to the investors.
Yes, specifically Memphis-based investors like MB Venture Partners. But they are deep specialists. They only care about clear FDA regulatory pathways and clinical validation.
Okay, let me throw a wrench into this. Memphis has an amazing, globally recognized music and cultural history. What if I'm building a music tech platform or a media content startup?
It's going to be tough.
Really? Why wouldn't Memphis be the perfect launch pad for that?
Because a strong cultural brand does not equal strong venture infrastructure. The report is brutally honest here. The venture infrastructure for music and media in Memphis is incredibly weak.
Because they aren't in those specialized lanes. So what do those founders do?
They have to throw out the Silicon Valley playbook. They must prioritize a strict revenue-first model, look for national distribution, get sponsor financing, and basically rely on customers to fund their growth, not local venture capital.
That leads perfectly into the lifeblood of all this, the money. Because whether you are in logistics or media, eventually you need capital. And the guide draws a massive bright red line between the types of money available.
Debt versus equity. It's the most critical distinction a founder makes.
Let's talk about venture equity first, the famous missing middle.
Right. Specialized equity exists, like Innova or MBVP for MedTech, but generalist pre-seed equity is just sparse.
The well is dry, so what's the workaround?
The report points you to the state. LaunchTN is a statewide platform that connects you with InvestTN or outside investors. You kind of have to look beyond the city limits for early generalist equity.
Okay, but on the other side of that red line is debt. And for neighborhood businesses or diverse founders outside of high tech, debt is often the reality.
Yes, and this comes through CDFIs, community development financial institutions.
Because traditional banks just have algorithms that say no.
Exactly. If you're a first-time founder trying to open a hauling company, a big corporate bank will reject you. But CDFIs like River City Capital or Communities Unlimited are built for that local risk.
And the guide also mentions pathway lending. They have these emerging loans up to 100 grand. Plus, there's SBA lending.
Right. SBA 7A and 504 loans. And for 504 loans, which are for fixed assets like heavy machinery, you can access combined financing up to $10 million now in 2026.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. Mixing these two up, debt and equity, is lethal. Taking on debt for an early stage, pre-revenue tech startup is like pouring rocket fuel into a car that doesn't even have an engine yet.
It's just going to cause an explosion.
Exactly. Debt requires repayment. If you are burning cash trying to build a software prototype, slapping a monthly loan payment on top of that will literally destroy you.
Debt is not startup capital unless you have repayment capacity. Equity is for businesses that can plausibly scale and return 10 times the capital.
So if you're a neighborhood commercial landscaping firm, venture capital is the wrong tool anyway. Your realistic path is getting local certifications like the Shelby County LOSB.
Right, the locally owned small business certification.
Yeah, get that. Win a government procurement contract and then use CDFI debt to buy the mowers. Cash flow controls, not venture capital.
You match the financial instrument to the growth model. Mixing them up destroys companies.
Okay, we've mapped the terrain and the money. Let's give the listener the actual execution roadmap from the 2026 guide, the 30, 90, and 365-day tactical playbook to conquer this ecosystem.
The first 30 days are all about preparation and validation, and it is strict.
Yeah, it basically says keep your wallet closed. Do not form an entity.
Do not spend money on lawyers yet. First, you have to do 20 to 40 rigorous customer interviews. Prove the problem exists.
Which is brilliant, because why spend $1,000 incorporating an LLC for a product nobody wants to buy?
Exactly. Armed with those interviews, you build a 12-month cash model, then you book TSBDC or Score sessions.
Okay, fast forward, day 90. The mission shifts to building evidence.
You need to secure 1 to 3 paid pilots, or at least signed letters of intent.
And what about the ecosystem programs?
Enter one primary program, just one. Do not overlap.
Fighting that resource tourism trap.
Exactly. And only apply for procurement certifications if you actually have a real buyer pipeline ready.
Then we hit the 1 year mark. Scaling. This is when you finally knock on the chamber or EDGE's door, because now you have a concrete expansion project.
Right. But crucially, the guide says you need to build follow-on funding relationships in Nashville, Atlanta, Austin, or St. Louis before the round is urgent.
Wait, isn't it a bit of an indictment on the city that the 365-day plan explicitly tells its best founders, hey, you have to go to other cities to build your investor pipeline?
I mean, it is a harsh reality. But ignoring it is how startups die. The local generalist capital just isn't there. This raises an important question, though, about how Memphis can actually fix this missing middle.
Right, because if they don't, they'll just keep exporting their best companies to Austin.
The report recommends systemic changes. First, creating a single live ecosystem ledger.
So no more hunting across 10 different websites for accelerator deadlines.
Exactly. One unified database. And second, outcome-based funding. Public money should only reward institutions when their startups secure paid pilots, survive, or raise outside capital. Not just because they hosted a mixer with free pizza.
Wow, that absolutely forces alignment. If an accelerator only gets paid when its founders make sales, they are going to push those founders into the market.
It attacks resource tourism at the source.
So what does this all mean for you? If you're building in Memphis in 2026, it is a powerful, highly specific engine if you have the right sector fit. But it requires extreme founder discipline to avoid the resource tourism trap.
You have to demand deliverables from every meeting and treat debt as a cash flow tool, not startup capital.
Which leads me to one final really provocative thought to mull over. The report explicitly points out that Memphis has this incredibly vibrant black majority entrepreneurial base.
Yes.
But as we've discussed, the high growth venture capital is locked into highly technical niches like med tech and ag tech.
Right, which means a lot of diverse founders whose businesses fall outside those strict technical lanes are pushed away from equity.
Exactly. They are funneled towards CDFI, debt and procurement contracts instead. So if the city's overall future relies on these neighborhood firms and diverse founders succeeding, but the venture equity is walled off, what happens to the city's broader economic identity?
It risks becoming totally bifurcated.
Right. Could the ultimate solution be a completely new type of financial instrument? Something that blends the neighborhood accessibility of a CDFI loan with the venture-style upside of equity. A tool that doesn't crush a new business with interest payments, but still lets the community share in its explosive growth.
That is definitely something to think about.
Something for you to explore and challenge as you map out your own business journey.